Let's open in our Bibles to Luke chapter 8 this evening.
If you're really fast and you find Luke chapter 8 in a hurry, you might want to stick a bookmark in Matthew chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, for telling us of these various incidents in your earthly ministry. And Father, as we try to glean just a few thoughts from this passage of Scripture, we ask that you would bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find here the disciples on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and it's a sight that you run across on several occasions as you go through the Gospels of the Lord's earthly ministry. And so this was not uncommon, but this evening I just want to bring a message I just simply called "In the Boat with Jesus." You would think if you were in the boat with Jesus, everything would be fine and that there wouldn't be any difficulties, but we find that's exactly the opposite of what's going on here in this account from the life of Christ. Now, in verse number 22, it tells us on the certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples. But in Matthew, who elaborates a little bit more on it, they don't contradict, they beautifully parallel one another and share a little bit more when you read both of them together. It tells us that he entered into the ship and his disciples followed him. Now, Luke implies that when he records for us the statement there in verse number 22 when Jesus says, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." In other words, this was Jesus' idea for them to get into the boat and to cross the sea that day. Now, the point here is that they are in the will of God. That's important to see, that they are in the will of God. They're following their Savior and doing what he told them to do, going where he was telling them to go, and they were doing it at the time he was telling them to do it. Following God's will does not always happen that way in an individual's life. Oftentimes Christians refuse to do God's will, or they surrender to God's will, but then they try to do it in a way that God has not instructed them to do it. Or they may not necessarily do it when God tells them to do it. But the disciples met all that criteria. They were following closely to their Lord, doing exactly what he asked them to do. And so they find themselves in the boat with Jesus, and we know what happened. We just read the scripture. The storm whips up. And so the first thing we see, I believe, at least to the disciples, the storm was surprising. I don't think they expected anything like that. I don't know that Jesus was surprised by it. I think he knew it was going to happen beforehand. He was always doing what he could to prepare the disciples for his departure, trying to teach them to grow in the faith and grow so that they would become people of prayer. And so I believe Jesus, as he took them into the boat, knew what was going to happen. After all, he is God. But those disciples didn't. And so as they got in the boat and things were going smoothly along for a while, because it tells in verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep. It wasn't the situation where he gets in the boat and he lays down and is instantly asleep before they could get everything ready and launch out into the water. They were rowing across, probably laughing and having a good time, probably talking about the events of the day, probably talking about what they might do when they get to the other side. Especially after Jesus fell asleep, they're probably wondering, why are we crossing? What's over there? And they're probably discussing everything to do with that and probably just having a good time, as I said. And then all of a sudden, this great storm. Now, here in Luke, it just simply tells us there came a storm of wind on the lake. But if we refer to Matthew, he elaborates a little bit in verse number 24, Matthew 8:24, and says there arose a great tempest in the sea, a great tempest. And so Matthew describes that storm of wind that Luke refers to, and it makes it a little more colorful, a little more picturesque, because when I read a great tempest, I see the big waves going up and down. I see the boat being tossed from wave to wave, and difficulty for the disciples to keep the boat going in the right direction, having difficulty even being able to see their destination, because as they sailed, they would simply be doing it by sight rather than using instruments, because of course they didn't have those in that time. And so things became very difficult, and to make matters worse, Luke tells us that they were filled with water. And as Matthew describes how that happened, again in verse 24 in Matthew chapter 8, he says, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. And so again, we see those big boisterous waves just rolling right over the boat, and the boat began to fill up with water. Now, I always wondered, how was Jesus sleeping in a boat that was full of water? I don't have an answer for you. If you have an answer for me, I'd appreciate it. But nevertheless, we know he was sleeping, and we know the boat was full of water because God tells us that. But the storm was surprising to the disciples. They were doing God's will, the way God asked them to do it, when God asked them to do it. And if we're following that criteria, we would expect our lives to simply be smooth sailing, our ministry to be profitable, or what we would call successful. And yet here's this storm. I think what happened was the devil saw an opportunity. Jesus is asleep. They're out there helpless in that little boat on that Sea of Galilee. And the way that is designed with the mountains around it, we know, you know, that the mountains just funnel the wind and it becomes very strong very quickly. And I believe the devil brought a storm in to try to sink the boat and try to drown Jesus. And I believe that's probably what was on the mind of the disciples. We'll see that in just a moment, that they were going to drown in this time. Because, well, at the end of verse 24, or in the middle of verse 24, when they come to Jesus and say, Master, Master, we perish. We're going to drown. We're going to die out here on the water. But the storm was surprising. They didn't expect it. They thought it'd just be an easy day's sail across the ocean, across the sea. Many of these same men had traveled that sea many, many times, earning a living as fishermen, probably starting when they were what we would call boys, and had spent many, many nights, many, many days on that sea. And yet here's the storm, and they're in the middle of it, having a very difficult time. The second thing we find is in verse 23, the situation was serious. These experienced sailors on that same specific body of water give up all hope. I imagine they didn't want to bother Jesus. They didn't want to go wake him up. He was sleeping. He had a busy day, and they knew how little he slept at night because he spent the nights in prayer. And so they probably consulted with each other when that storm began to come. Should we wake him up? And they probably said, no, let's let him sleep. He needs his sleep. And so they're busy bailing as much water out as they can with whatever they could, even to just be their hands scooping the water out, whatever they can do to try to keep that boat afloat on that body of water. But they come to a point here because of the strength of the waves, and as those waves are crashing over the walls of the boat, they finally get to a point where they give up all hope. The situation was serious. They knew they were in peril, and that they were, if it didn't cease, that they were going to drown. And so, there we have the Savior sleeping. I always wonder, why didn't they go to him earlier? Why didn't they wake him up and ask him to help them? They knew he was God. They knew he could do things that no other man could do. But they waited until they were at the end of the ropes. They waited until there was nothing else that they could possibly do to get out of this storm before they came to Christ. Isn't that so much like us? All the events we've been talking about are so much like us as we try to serve the Lord. We try our best to do what God wants us to do, the way God asks us to do it, and at the same time that God demands us to do it. And then when the storm comes, we're so surprised, and the storm shows up in various ways. It could be a financial crisis in our lives. It could be a health issue in our lives. It could be a relationship problem in our lives. All these things could come up that we never saw coming, and it kind of blindsides us, and we're left wondering what's going on here, because I was sure I was doing God's will. And apparently I'm not, because there's a storm, but we see that oftentimes Jesus leads us into the storm. That's His will. Now, the other things we're doing to get us in the middle of that storm may be irrelevant. But we may mistakenly think that which is irrelevant to be the main cause or the main task at hand, when God has something entirely different for you to experience. And so He gives them a simple, irrelevant task. Let's just go to the other side. But He wasn't really that interested with getting to the other side. He was more interested in them going through that storm and to seeing how they would respond so that their faith might grow. And so oftentimes we're just like them, surprised by a storm. And boy, we do everything we can, don't we? We don't want to bother Jesus. Now, we don't think those thoughts because we know He's available at any time and He wants us to come. But for some reason, our natural reaction or natural instinct is to do everything we can to solve the crises, to take care of the problem. And so whatever that storm may be, that's generally what we do. And when there's nothing left to do, when there's no other place to turn, no other person to talk to about the storm, then we say, oh, Jesus, by the way, I had a little bit of trouble here if you haven't noticed. Could you help me out? Now, that's kind of what is being said, and I like to think it's Peter here doing the talking, because he usually was the spokesman there. And so they cry out because the Savior was sleeping, and they had to wake Him up. But the crazy thing about it all is the solution was simple. They were frustrated. They were doing everything they could to solve the problem, trying to find their own solution, and they could not. They failed, miserably failed. But Jesus wakes up. It tells us in the middle of verse 24, He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. There was a calm. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You see, Jesus is God. And the storms must obey His command. It doesn't matter what their source is, whether it's natural or naturally occurring, or whether it's a satanic attack. It's all irrelevant. That storm must obey when Jesus speaks. And so they come to Jesus and find the solution was simple. And I wonder if after the sea calmed down and the storm ceased to blow, if they just went, we should have gone to Him sooner, before we panicked and almost had a heart attack and got high blood pressure. But you know, we're so much like them, aren't we? But Jesus' statement to them is really telling. He says, where is your faith? Now think about those words. Where is your faith? When He says that, what He's saying is your faith is missing. It's non-existent. It's not that you have a little bit of faith, but here in Luke, the statement is, where is your faith? You're living only by sight. Faith has been put in the back seat, left in the luggage, and it's not being exercised. Now, we know that as Christians, we're to walk by faith, and we need to do everything by faith, and especially in the time of a storm. To just keep on moving. Now the disciples should have known that they weren't going to sink that day. They should have known that there was no reason for panic. Because Jesus had told, at least have told Nicodemus, and I imagine they heard it as well, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. Not drowned, not sinking to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, but he must be lifted up. There was no way they could die in this manner or in this fashion. They should have known. Where was their faith? They had the promise of God. Jesus said, go to the other side. That meant they were going to get to the other side. They weren't going to stop halfway and sink to the bottom. So where is their faith? It was missing. You know, unless we be too hard on them, I think if we're all honest, we'd admit that we have our times too. When we're going through a storm, that sometimes our faith disappears and we struggle. And then finally, when we get to the end of our rope, we come to the Lord, who appears to have been sleeping in our situation, only to find that the solution was so simple. If only we had gone to him sooner, we would have experienced much less panic and much less suffering. And so as we look at being in the boat with Jesus, and if we're saved symbolically or typically, we're all in the boat with Jesus, the boat called life, as pilgrims here until we sail on home. Sometimes Jesus is going to lead us into storms. And we're not going to understand why those storms came, and they're going to blindside us unexpectedly. And sometimes the situation will get serious in our lives. But be rest assured, the Savior is never sleeping. He wants us to come to him as soon as the storm begins to blow, because the solution is simple. All we have to do is have faith and trust in him and stay on course, doing what he told us to do. And so never fear when you're in the boat with Christ. There's nothing that can conquer us when we're doing God's will. I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael said to King Nebuchadnezzar, that the confidence that God would deliver them from the king. God would deliver them. Whether the flames hurt them or not, it was irrelevant. God was going to deliver them, whether it be through death or life. The confidence and the faith. That's what God wants us to have and to demonstrate. And that's what he calls us to when we're in the boat with Jesus. Father, we're so grateful for your word and the things we can learn from it. Thank you for caring about our every need. And Lord, when we do go through storms, we know that everyone does. Thank you for being there and commanding that storm and dictating how hard the winds can blow and how high the waves can rise. And Father, thank you for keeping us safe even in those storms. Help us to have the faith that would honor and glorify you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.